Right, my thoughts will be on my new associations. People who are not using and have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
All right, I would like to introduce our speaker this morning. Her name is Elizabeth E. She is from the Sound of Serenity Group of NA in the USA area. United Shoreline.
Right on. That's right, I'm from the United Shoreline area, USA. Isn't that cool? All right, I'm an addict, Elizabeth. This is good. Okay, so one, this, you guys are awesome, right? The committee was amazing. Everybody was wicked nice. I stayed in the OG cabin. These girls, dude, if you don't get to know your predecessor women, man, they rock. Like, so there they are over there. We are kind of the forgotten ones, right? As we age, as women age in recovery, or maybe just in life in general, we are the forgotten ones. So pay attention, right? So it's beautiful here. Drew asked me to speak, right? And he said I was going to be... Love you. He said I'd be the Sunday morning spiritual speaker. And I'm like, are you sure that's just such a good idea? Like, he knows who I am, and I'm not... Like, I don't ever think that, like, this is what I should be doing on Sunday morning. But I probably will swear. But... And thinking about it, it's kind of like, you know, I've been doing, you know, I got clean in the class of 95, May 2nd of 95, and I've been doing this, right? Like, I fucking love NA, you know what I mean? I love this fellowship, and I've devoted my life to it, truthfully. I've never stopped doing the stuff they told me to do when I came here. So, get involved, don't give up, shit happens, life happens, keep coming, you know what I mean, no matter what. Because like, you know, Ed had said last night, we all get a turn. And that is, there's no way around it. We get a turn. Whether it's early in recovery, middle of recovery, late in recovery, and we may get many turns, you know what I mean, and life happens. But the whole thing for me is like, you know, like I stay. Even when I feel like a piece of shit, even when I do something that's kind of shady, even when, you know, like I just don't feel good, I still show up. Sometimes it's in the back of the room with my hat on, you know, hiding. Other times, you know, I'm like just here, happy, joyous, and free. Most of the time I am, you know. But, you know, so I love our fellowship, and this is really the only proven way that truly works. You know, like this is it. You can try, I don't know, I've watched people try many different ways. Maybe there are other ways, but I have evidence. There's proof. I see it in the people around me. I see it in, you know, just so many people. This is a perfect program. Humans aren't perfect. We're not perfect, but the program is. So, you know, I got clean when I was 22. I left home when I was 15 and hit the streets. I was, you know, a junkie on the streets. You know, I moved to the West Coast. I'm from Connecticut. Moved to the West Coast following the Grateful Dead and, you know, looking for... I'm a recovering deadhead now. I'm more like, But that was, you know, what I grasped onto as a child, as a kid, was like the what we have here, right? It was like love, right? Like that's what I felt when I went to my first show, and I was like, God, I want more of this. Anything that makes me feel good, I want more of. To this day, I still do more of what makes me feel good, and or what gives me that hit, you know. But so, you know, I left home and I went out there, but I quickly found that it wasn't real. Like, it was phony. It was drug infested and people scamming and, you know, all that stuff that happens. So I learned quickly that that wasn't what it was about. And I fell right into the lifestyle, you know. So I lived on the streets. I was, you know, I had nothing. I was 15, 16, 17. So till I was, you know, 21, I was on the streets. And, with maybe a, you know, sometimes I had a place to live. But, you know, it was not, you know, we know, it wasn't a pretty existence. There was nothing glamorous about my addiction. Like, I could, you know, it was like about every, you know, every single day living just trying to get one more, you know. It was really awful. Holding the sign, I heard somebody else talking about that, one of the speakers. You know, like, I held the sign, I spare change, you know. I was known in the community as a homeless person. Like, that's what I was known as. So coming into, you know, like getting clean, man, my self-esteem was low. Like that, you know, there was never, I never had anything to lose. Everything since I've walked in this door has been up, you know, like it is, it's been like a positive. And, you know, I tried several, my first treatment, I was, you know, 15, my high school sent me to a treatment center. And, you know, I didn't think I was an addict, but they told me that was, you know, probably 87. I don't remember what year it was, but Narcotics Anonymous was alive and well then, you know, and it was in New Haven, Connecticut, and they brought me to NA meetings. They brought me to, you know, other, you know, 12-step programs, but they told me I was an addict then. So I knew, there was no escaping it. I knew that I was an addict, and as much as I denied it, but I knew where to come, right? As much so I stayed on the streets, blah, 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 used, blah, blah, blah. But I knew what I had to do when I was ready to do it, when the surrender finally came. And so I knew I came back home, my parents flew me home, and I started my journey of recovery. And oh God, you know, like it's been awesome. You know what I mean? As much as like there's times that are not great, like the whole recovery journey, if you allow yourself to have it, which I was ready, man, like I was just so ready to get clean. And so I did what you guys told me to do. You know what I mean? I was in this treatment center, and this is like where my relationship with God started. You know, like you guys, there was this girl who said, like, get on your knees and pray for the obsession to be lifted. She said, ask God to, you know, get on your knees and pray for the obsession to be lifted. And I was like, oh, you know what I mean? I'd never done that. That was foreign to me. I'd never prayed, you know, gotten on my knees and prayed. I'd never. You know, all I prayed for was more money and more drugs, you know, like get me out of this jackpot. And I took a risk, dude. Like I was so freaking broken, but when I came in the door and I took the risk and I like closed the door and I, you know, didn't want anybody to see me, and I got down on my bed and I called God just because it's easier. Don't complicate your higher power. It doesn't need to be complicated. It's just simple. So I got on my knees and I was like, please, God, remove this obsession to use. And it was like this instant thing, you know, that just came over me, like this warm, fuzzy feeling that was just like, it gave me that little shot of hope, because I was sick, dude. I was so dope sick, and I knew that what would take that away. And, you know, all of a sudden I realized like that made me feel good for that little splitting moment. It made me want to stay, you know? So that was my start of my relationship with a God, and I had no clue what that meant, you know? Now I know, but you guys were talking about a relationship with a God, and I was like, that's so fucking weird. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what that means, but I just believed you guys. Like, I really put all my faith and trust into what you guys were telling me. So, like I said, I do shit that makes me feel good. I kept praying, you know what I mean? Because every single time I had tried to, like, get clean, I would always go back to the same people, places, and things. Every single time. This time, I was like, fuck that. You know what I mean? I want to try something different. I don't want to keep living this life. I want a different way of life. And so I just tried. You know, I put myself in somewhere. I was away in a safe place for, you know, like 11 months is how it ended up being. And, you know, for me, that's what I needed. You know, I didn't associate with anybody that used. I still don't. You know what I mean? Sure, I cross paths here and there, but I don't put myself in situations that are dangerous. Because I was talking about it this morning with, you know, like I will use. There is no like, oh, it's not that, or, you know, it's not going to be, what did we say? An option. Yeah, it's always a fucking option. Using is always an option. I don't care how many times I've written the steps. I don't care how much I've prayed, how many conventions I've come to. It doesn't matter. I will fucking use. And the minute I take myself out of this environment, I just know me, man. Like, I don't know how long I could hold on, but I don't think it'll be long, you know, knowing me, because I am like, you know, on all the time. So thank God I learned that about myself early. You know what I mean? Like, I just know. So, you know, this lifestyle is important to me. And to me, it is life or death. And it has been since I walked in the door. I know what it's like to, like, be on the streets. I know what it's like to just, you know, track marks and skinny and gray and gross. Like, my mom didn't even recognize me when I came home from the West Coast. I was so yucky, you know what I mean? It was really bad. And So I know where my disease takes me, and you know, maybe you can get away with it for a while, but I don't care. My life's fucking awesome, dude. Like, you know what I mean? I have the best life ever, and this is a life that I've created with Narcotics Anonymous, you know, with having steps in my life and sponsor and friends and just like, it's just, you know, a life way beyond I could have ever imagined, you know what I mean? So, you know, so I just did what you guys told me. I got right in. And it, you know, for me, it wasn't like that. People weren't all like, oh, Elizabeth, you know what I mean? I didn't have that experience. Some people do, you know, and it's like, and I, you know, it just wasn't my experience. I think I was really odd. You know, I didn't know how to have a conversation. I would just smile and nod. Like, that was all I could do was smile. And I knew that that was kind of welcoming, but I couldn't talk to you. Like, I was a rocker. I was a, you know, like, I was borderline not okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't pretty. And, you know, and I was, I don't know, I think I was just weird and probably had my walls up, you know what I mean, too. And so, yeah, the men, I'm grateful for the men, and not in a bad way, but the men really helped me. You know, obviously there wasn't tons of women in my area when I got clean, and the ones that were there were sort of cliquey, and I wasn't like a girly girl, you know what I mean? And but you know, it all worked out as it was supposed to. I got a sponsor, I started writing right away, and you know, my first step was like incredible. You know what I mean? I just dumped some stuff that I thought I would never tell anybody. It was like that, you know, real freedom, like really getting to like be honest and like tell some people some stuff I'd held on to from childhood, you know, and it's stupid shit now. Like all that stuff that, you know, was in my head, it doesn't even matter now. It's like so, but the stuff that keeps us using is like so bizarre, you know. So free yourself of any of that nonsense, you know what I mean, that like is, you know, just that keeps us going back out or keeps us using. It's probably all bullshit anyways, you know. So I, you know, I did my first three steps. I started like really getting this relationship with a God and really realizing like what it meant to have a relationship with a God, because I didn't know. It took me a long time, and that's all changed. My relationship with a higher power has all changed. But like, I just started, like, depending on a God in prayer, right? Praying. So I'm grateful that I did that early on, right? Like, I don't know. A lot of people come in here and they have a hard time grasping the whole higher power thing. Don't confuse it. Don't make it all confusing. It's easy. Whatever. It's like my inner gut I kind of feel like now, you know? Like, that's sort of what I think of my higher power now. But I remember like seeing, so I was a cyclist, I had a bike, you know, because I would never ask anybody for a ride, right? Like I had to, you know, like I had to ride my bike. Everybody knew me like as the chick on the bike. I would ride all over, and that's how I would get to meetings. Like I would never ask people. I'd ride all over town on my bike, and you know, when I lived in Oregon, I was a bike thief. I stole, if you lived in Oregon, I probably stole your bike. Like I had a shit, you know, like a whole area just filled with bikes, and you know, the nicer, the better. You know, I justified my thievery by thinking like they were rich kids in college and their parents, you know, insurance, parents pay for that stuff, whatever. You know, like all that nonsense, why I stole. But, and I did steal for the first 6 months of my recovery until I heard this woman share, who's still clean today in my area, but she shared about how she never even steals a pen from work. And I went, what? Like, that just stuck with me. Like, I was like, she doesn't even take a pen from work? And I was like, God damn, you know what I mean? Like, I had to reevaluate, like, I mean, I didn't have a job, but I mean, I had to reevaluate how I was living, you know? Because I kind of thought, like, everything was mine, you know? Like, whatever. But, and that's extreme. I'm sure we easily walk out of, you know, whatever, with a pen. But it made an impression on me, and I stopped stealing, you know, at 6 months. So, but so I did like the 1, 2, 3. Then I had, you know, I got really judgmental of my sponsor because she got a speeding ticket. So I had to get a new sponsor. And anybody that knows me knows I'm a fucking crazy driver. I'm an asshole. I'm the tailgater. I'm the one on your ass, like, move over, you know? So I will tell you. So when I got clean, right, in the early years, I really thought I had to be perfect. You know, I came in here like I was so like so strict, had to be perfect. You know, I went, I it's really uncomfortable to be that way, you know what I mean? Because there's no possible way we can be perfect. But I was so serious about my recovery that it scared me not to be that way. It was life or death, you know what I mean? And that's just what I had to do. I'm glad I stayed clean through all of it, but that's where I was at. And so I did, you know, I did 1, 2, 3. I had to get a new sponsor because she had a speeding ticket. I was all judgmental. Another thing that was funny about her was that she had a job. She was older than I was. She only had a few years clean, but she had her shit together far more than I did. And she was fun. She was like all into activities, and she like taught me about being involved in the activities and doing stuff and having fun outside of, you know, just like going to meetings, right? And because I needed that. My whole goal when I got here was, how was I going to have fun? That's all I wanted to focus on. I was young, and I wanted to know what the fuck you guys are going to do that's entertaining, you know? So that's what this sponsor did, right? She got me involved in that stuff. We did ice skating and picnics and, you know, rafting and just, you know, just stuff. But anyway, so I got another sponsor, one who I really got a little deeper with, right? Like, and I was like, oh, yeah, this chick, she's really smart, and I could, you know, get really deep with her. But then she decided this wasn't for her anymore, you know, and she didn't want to come to NA. And I was like, oh, man, what I can say about this, right, is that even if your sponsor makes a choice to do something else or they use or whatever it is, just keep trying. You know what I mean? Don't give up because, like, we're human, right? We fall short. There's going to be shit that happens, and none of us are perfect. So I got a new one who ended up, like, I lived with her, and that was odd. I never talked to her. I did some, you know, step work. It was bizarre. Finally, so we're going like 4 years clean at this point, and I haven't done a fourth step yet. You know, I'm doing the 1, 2, 3 shuffle, 1, 2, 3 shuffle. Got that shit down, you know? And I get this other sponsor who I ended up having for 11 years, and I went through the steps with her several times. But I had this experience, you know, with my fourth step that was, you know, oh my God, they talk about it in the thing, you know, like that it's like the change, the turning point in your recovery. And it really was. And I couldn't understand while I was writing it what the point of it all was. And I was like, why? You know, I'm good now. Like everybody, I'm freaking NA. You know, I wore like my heroin addiction like a badge of honor. I wore my recovery like a badge of honor. And I was really ego and like, yes, NA shirts, telling everybody at my job. I got hired at a job right with 11 months clean. So I had the same job. But so I, you know, like wore it with a badge of honor. Like I loved that I was in NA. I was proud of myself that I was in NA. And so I got this fourth, I didn't understand why I had to do this, right? I'm fucking 4 years clean, you know, I got it. But so I wrote it, and I shared it with her. And right after that, I went to the Burlington, Vermont convention. And I get up there. And I get there and I'm standing like after the Saturday night speaker, and the place was, it was a small convention then, but I'm standing like in the sea of people, like out, you know, out in the crowd, and everybody's just out there. And I just remember standing there going like, this is where I want to be. Like, I don't want to be anywhere else but right here. And that's how I feel. Like, you know, I don't want to be anywhere else but like with you guys, you know? So that was like after doing my fourth step, right? And I, like, because there's times where I was on the fence, right? Like, I would teeter on the fence in my first few years clean. Like, you know, because active addiction was still fucking attractive to me. You know, like, it still was, I liked that dirty, grimy living. I liked shooting up in freaking, you know, bathrooms, like, just disgusting. You know what I mean? That was attractive to me. And it took a long time where it became not attractive, you know? So I just, you know, like I finally realized like this is it, you know what I mean? Like I am in, you know? And so, you know, I always, you know, in my area, I had commitments at all the meetings, you know what I mean? I was just one of them. Everybody knew to call me because Elizabeth's gonna be at the meeting so she can cover my commitment, you know? I was just, that's who I was. I loved our fellowship and I always showed up, you know? So finally like got through, you know, felt like, all right, I'm in, you know, because it really did change how I felt, like doing that four step. Like I was really a part of, and I completed something, and it just was great. And the sixth step I loved also. Like it was like I finally had this thing of, like I could identify my defects, because I couldn't like identify how I felt. I was just mad all the time. I couldn't identify like my different feelings and what it was, and all I could say was like happy or sad, happy, mad, happy, you know, like it just, there was no in between of like, why was I feeling that way? And the six step kind of gave me like more of an idea of like what was going on and like how I was acting. And when I got my list from my sponsor and I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't have any of these defects, but you know, my girlfriend, I could be like, dude, this chick over here, my friend, she has all of those, because I was perfect, you know. And I just, you know, as I wrote on each of those defects, I acted out on every single one. It was apparent, you know, how these defects were alive and well. I was given, like, you know, total, you know, current events, you know, that were happening, like how I could identify with these defects. And so, you know, it was great, though. I had a spiritual principle. I had something I could counteract it with. The sponsor I have today, when we do the sixth step, we do like a seven-step prayer with it. Like, as we share that defect and the spiritual principle, we do a seven-step prayer right with it in an action. Like, how am I, you know, what am I going to do when I see this coming up, when I see this, like, you know, happening in my life, what am I going to do to counteract that? Like, how am I going to get this, you know, to change my behavior? You know, what am I going to do? Sometimes it could be some, you know, funny stuff, but whatever. Usually for me, it's like, keep your mouth shut, or, you know, go move, get out of the way, like, you know, just keep it moving, you know. So, you know, it's just good. But you know, yeah, that's just it, just completely life-changing, the sixth step for me. I guess I'm doing the steps. I didn't even know I was going to do that. You never know what you're going to say, you know what I mean? I have just no fucking idea what you're going to say. But, you know, 8 and 9, I have a couple sponsees right now that are on 8 and 9, and, that hurt, man. Making a list was really painful for me, and I didn't realize that it would affect me that way. And the most recent 8-step I just did was I cried through the whole thing, like making this list and like the harm I'd caused, you know, in recovery, dude. Like, I mean, I've had, you know, lots of shit I've been a part of, that I participated in, that I've done, that's been done to me. Like, it's, you know, a lot happens here. And but making that list, man, was just like so painful. And the cool thing, so when I was on my making the list, right, I told you about the bikes, right, that I stole, I was like, how can you possibly like amend that, right? So it was funny, my parents were both very people of service, right? I watched them my whole life be of service to the community. And so it's no wonder like I am who I am, right? I got to watch them do that. You know, they were selfless service, no pay, no nothing. They just served their community. So my mom gets this letter from an organization called Bikes for Kids, you know, asking for money. And so like that was my easy amend, right, like there, to be able to like donate to this cause, right? And it's like been a, you know, just, I think of like all, can you imagine, I'm sure people have had their bike stolen, right? Like, I was the asshole, right? Like, that was doing that. And, you know, you can't fix that. And these people don't know, but it's just kind of like, you know, what we do, how cool it is, how we are in NA, like all the silent stuff that we do, it all ripples, right? Like all the different, the goodness that we do ripples out there. And, you know, not to be like talking nicely, but I was like, I was at the airport. I had gone down to Florida for Safrickna, whatever that was, a couple weeks ago. And I was coming back, and I like to travel alone. It's kind of fun. But so I'm coming back, and I got nowhere. I'm flying into Connecticut. I got nowhere to be. I got to pick my dog up, you know. So there's this old lady that's sitting, one girl who's sitting next to me doesn't speak English, so she's nervous, right? And then the other lady is an older woman who has this giant bag, right? So the one who doesn't speak English is glued to me. She's just like terrified because she wants to know, you know, where she has to go and all that. So I'm like, you're good, girl. And then the other lady has this giant bag, so I'm like, no problem. Like, I don't even think twice about helping people, right? It comes naturally. And that's because of you guys, right? Like, I carry the lady's bag. I bring both of them down to baggage claim. Like, it's not even a thing that I see. And the woman is, like, so grateful. And I'm thinking, like, isn't that what anybody would do? Like, it's not anything special, you know? But it's just, I feel good, right? When we do good things, it makes me feel good. Anything that makes me feel good, I keep doing, right? I keep doing it. So, yeah, I don't even know what that means. But, but yeah, so 8 and 9, right? Like, I made some amends. My family, I was so egoed up when I did my first, you know, ninth step. I was so full of ego and just thinking I knew everything and you guys already forgave me. Why do I even need to say anything? It was just, yeah, sucks. But when I finally did like make amends to like my family and all that stuff, it all was positive, right? I didn't have any negative experiences. But I also forgot stuff, you know, and I'd gone out to lunch with some people from high school. This was years ago. And this girl was talking about like my active addiction, you know, and she was mad at me about a situation that I didn't have on my list. You know what I mean? I had no idea that she needed an amends. We don't know the harm we do, right? Like it is just so, I felt so bad, but it didn't even occur to me, you know. But our active addiction is ugly, man, you know what I mean? And like, I don't know, I did some stuff that it's easy to block out shit because I think I'm so great, you know? Like I think I'm clean, you know, everything's so great. And it's easy to block out the harm caused. And I was talking about this weekend too, about, you know, my dad passed in December and my mom, leading up to his death, she was really stressed out. She was taking care of him and it was really hard and she was asking for a lot of help. And so I was over there all the time, like helping her, blah, 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 all, you know, just easy. I don't even mind that, you know. But she got to this place where she was really angry with me. And it hurt my feelings so bad. But you know, she had said like you haven't even been here. Like that's what she said to me, and I'm thinking like, dude, I've been here since I've been clean. I've been clean 20 at that point. I've been clean 27 years. I'm like I've been here the whole time since I've been clean. So a friend of mine who had lost his mother, I had shared that at a meeting, right? And I didn't realize how badly it had hurt me until I spoke it, right? Because I was kind of mad that she said it. And I shared it out loud. And he came up to me after the meeting. And he was like, "You are a good daughter." And I was like, I needed to hear that because, like, I still think of myself as such a piece of shit, you know? And the harm caused, like, it goes deep, man. Like, 28 years is nothing when I, like, left home at 15. And abandon my family. Like that's still, and that's her shit, you know what I mean? Because I have amended that, but it still hurts, you know what I mean? She still feels that, and I keep saying to her, like, dude, it was so long ago. Like, why are we still talking about this, you know? But it's like her way of, she wasn't capable of processing that stuff then. She was just grateful that her daughter was clean and that I was living a good life. Now I think she feels safe in my recovery that maybe she can like let me know, right? And they have that privilege. They can do that. You know what I mean? She can do that. But, and she was feeling, you know, whatever. She was at a place in her life where she was feeling vulnerable, right? Like, now she's in charge, dude. Like I said, we were out the other day and we're driving around and I'm like, it's crazy, isn't it? That here we are just out here living. Nobody's in charge of us. Like who's in charge? Nobody. Yeah, just us. So, fucking great. She would have been like one of those hippies like I was. She always lived kind of vicariously through me, you know? She just was a little older. She didn't get that 60s generation, but, you know, so she was a good mom. She always, like, thought, well, I mean, she did the best you can, right? Like, I don't know. I don't have kids, so I said this morning how I robbed her of that ability to kind of make things right with a grandkid, and my brother didn't have kids either because my dad told us not to. Whatever you do, don't have children. That's what you'd say. I never for a second thought that was about me either. I was like, oh, okay, why not? But it was good. Yeah, I had good parents. Like, just, I was lucky, you know. My mom wasn't like a cuddly kind of person, and she said that to me the other day. She's like, I feel really bad. I made you so hard, because she's hard too. She's like, I feel bad. I just didn't want a clingy girl. I wanted you to be tough and strong, and you would, you know, crawl up and try to cling to me, and I'd push you away. And I was like, oh, God, no wonder I'm so fucked up. I never got the love I needed, you know. Seeking it in men, you know, like, but whatever. She was good. She always told me I could do whatever I wanted, you know, which was like a really good thing. She never made me, you know, feel like I couldn't do anything. You know, the best thing I ever did was leave home. For me, that was like the best thing I could have done. I am not afraid, dude. Like, I am not afraid to do anything. And so let me finish the steps. I don't know, I could probably, we got time, right? So that was a good experience. And the recent step that I did, you know, the eighth and ninth step were, you know, the pain, I had caused harm to men in my life, and it just wasn't necessary. There was like the checkoff of like, I think, I don't know if Ed was sharing that last night about the, like, you don't have to make amends here. Like, that felt good. Like, it was enough for me to write this stuff down. And that's the whole thing with writing. Like, just write it down. It doesn't mean anything. Like, you don't necessarily have to tell anybody, you know, like, about it or make amends or whatever. Just put it, write it down. Because that frees you. The minute I wrote that eight-step list, I was free. I was no longer crying about, like, every time I thought about these situations. It freed me. So, you know, 10th step for me is, you know, I have a sponsorship family that has a list of steps that we kind of, a list of questions for the 10th step, and we try to do it, you know, I try to do it regularly. I don't do it daily, but I try to stay in the process of writing, you know, and it's like, what did I do good today, or what did I do well, what could I do better, what inspired me, what surprised me, like, just different stuff that, you know, like, makes you kind of think a little more about how the day is, and so that's nice, you know. When I was writing my first 10th step, it was kind of like I kept repeating the same behaviors, you know, and I was like, God, every day I'd have to write on this like thing that I just kept doing. I was mean to this guy I worked with, and he was in the other fellowship, and every day I'd come in, I'd just be an asshole to him. I don't know why, I just kept doing, he was just an easy target, right? And finally, I couldn't stop. I'd go home, I was like, yep, I was a jerk to Selby today, you know what I mean? I would just keep doing it. And finally, he was like, dude! You know, like, he, like, blew up on me, and, like, that put me in my place. I needed to be put in my place, and he did. So that was good. still so egoed up, you know? So, 11, oh, God, I love the 11th step. Like, you know, I was actively participating in my 11th step when I wrote it for the first time. And I was, you know, praying and meditating twice a day. What they talk about in the 11th step, how, like, to be careful not to float out the door on a religious zeal. I understood why they wrote that because I was like, I wanted to be like a freaking Buddha, you know, a priest, I don't know, like, I just was like, so, I wanted to take religion classes, you know, it was like, I felt so, I don't know, it was awesome, like, it was the coolest thing. I had a relationship with a God that was just incredible. I no longer was like trusting you, I was trusting my higher power, like, it was amazing. And, like, I just felt like I was being carried, you know what I mean, by my God. And I really believe today, like, what was happening there was that my God was saving my life because I was in this relationship that was not good. You talk about red flags, man, they were all over the place. But I was refusing to look at them, you know. I was young, I was inexperienced, and just didn't, you know, have the information I needed, and this guy asked me to marry him, and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing, I can't believe somebody wants to marry me. So, oh God, that was just a shit show. But, you know, come to find out, like, he has, you know, 9 warrants for his arrest, goes to prison, the people say, like, he's never gonna get out, but what do? Like, you guys rally behind me. Whoa! We gotta get this guy out of jail, you know? Poor fucker. He can't fight this case. We should have left him there, but, you know... But we, like, I spend all this money, I max out credit cards, people let me borrow money to, like, bail them out. We get them out, we fight this, you know, the addicts, how we show up for people, you know. We get them out of these charges, dude. He had, like, 20 years hanging. He doesn't even have to go to jail, you know. We get him out. And he's fucking using this whole time, right? We go get married. I don't know he's using. We get married in Hawaii, have this great wedding. And it was a little weird. I thought something was weird. But come to find out, you know, he was using. And cheating on me, using, all the stuff. Everything he had told me was a lie. You know, just crazy. So I finally, like, get the proof, because we need proof that he's cheating, right? So find out he's cheating. I kick them out because I just bought my first house, dude. Like, I was under 30. I buy my first house, this multifamily. Like, my parents, I came from a family that didn't own houses. You know what I mean? Like, we were renters. And here I am, under 30, buying this property. And I'm with this guy that's just, you know, using. And I'm like praying and meditating every day. I'm taking him to COP. You know, he goes to treatment. He's trying to get clean. I finally like get him out of the house, right? I do all those things I never think I'm gonna do, like, you know, because I'm like NA guru girl. And here I am taking him to COP. You know, and you know, going against my every being. And I remember I had just bought this house, and I'm standing there like just so desperate, and I'm like on the like the edge of, you know, like, do I want to join him, you know, because he was doing what I do. And I remember standing there like, please God, like, I don't want to do this. And all of a sudden, like, I just got this feeling of like, you know, you don't have to do that, you know. So I did, like, thank God. And I know that's because I was like actively, you know, on my 11th step, and I had this such a strong relationship with a God. And I wish this dude dead, man. Like, I did not. My friend who was like this spiritual ray, he's passed it now, but he would call me every day, and he's like, have you prayed for him? And I'm like, fuck no. You know, like, the only thing I'm gonna do is pray that he gets hit by a bus. You know, like, I couldn't get to a place that I would, like, you know, want him, you know, I didn't want him better or anything. I wanted him done, gone. And so, you know, I kicked him out, and I never saw him again. You know what I mean? I never had to see him again. And I got, he was married to somebody else. So, like, that's another thing. I had the marriage annulled, so it wasn't even a real wedding or whatever. But he had all these charges that he had accumulated. And so, like, you know, it took me probably a good year to heal from that, because I was so angry, and so I didn't want to talk to you. I was embarrassed too. Like, I had married this dude that, like, was using and was robbing our friends and doing like shady shit. And, you know, my ego still was so big. I wasn't to a place where I could be honest, you know, and really ask for help. I was doing it with God only. And, you know, God, it's like so shameful. You know what I mean? I felt so ashamed when I didn't need to feel ashamed. You know what I mean? But that's just where I was just so like, ugh, you know, I got this. I didn't want help. And, you know, it is amazing I stayed clean for my early recovery, because I was so, as much as I was all in, I wasn't honest. So, I fucking get a knock at the door, and I don't know how long it had been, but I have a whole SWAT team surrounding my house looking for this guy. You know, guns, bulletproof vests, like this whole thing. And I remember just my heart was pounding. Like, I couldn't even, you know, because you immediately think you're lying. And I'm not lying. I don't know where the dude is. But it's like the way that whole situation is. But, you know, just trauma, right? Like, all this trauma that I never really dealt with, right? Like, I just kept pushing through. So that's all said and done, whatever. That was just a story, right? But, like, thank God for the 11th step, right? Like, if I hadn't been actively participating, you know, praying on a regular basis and just, I don't know, having this relationship with a God, like, you know, I don't even know. But so 12, right? I just keep doing it, right? I love our fellowship. I was in H&I for probably the first 17 years of my recovery. So we have a woman's prison in our area, and like, I was like the one, you know what I mean? Everybody called me, everybody knew, like, Elizabeth was the woman's prison person. And you know, I loved it. And I remember my dad, it was snowing, it was April, we had a snowstorm in April, and I was like, oh God, you know, I'm supposed to go to the prison tonight. I say to my dad, I'm like, we're supposed to go to the prison tonight, I don't know, it's supposed to snow, I don't know if I should go. And my dad goes, aren't those women depending on you to be there? And I was like, oh, yes they are. As a matter of fact, they are. I'm going, you know? So it's like that kind of stuff. Like, I find it so funny now where, you know, I don't know about here, you guys seem pretty solid, but like how we cancel meetings really quickly when it snows now. And I think, like, we never used to do that back then. You know what I mean? We always had the meetings open. We always showed up. That's why I have a four-wheel drive car. I've always driven one that had all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, because, like, I'm going. I gotta be there. We get really soft, you know, as we get later in recovery. We're like, well, you know, isn't that insane to drive in a snowstorm? Well, maybe. I'm insane, you know? But Yeah, so that was a cool thing. And I did, I didn't have a four-wheel drive home on that ride home, so I did spin out and go off the road. So that did happen. So that's why I have a four-wheel drive. But it was fine, yeah. So nobody got hurt. So now, right, like today, so I got married again, right? And to this guy, we were like the NA couple, right? Everybody like was aspired to be us, you know? We were together 12 years. And I don't know about like sharing this, but you know, it got to a point, like we looked great on the outside. It was fantastic on the outside. We had a really good life together and we got along and we still get along. We're still friends today. But for me, what happened was, you know, we didn't have sex. You know, there was no sex. And that became a problem at a time. You know what I mean? So I've been cheated on plenty, but then I got to the point where I cheated on my husband. And I ended the marriage right away when that happened because it was like something I was so judgmental about. Like, I hated cheaters. I would judge the shit out of you. You know what I mean? And when it came to this point, like, lust took over where I couldn't do anything about it. Like, it was the most powerful thing I had ever experienced. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't change it. And it felt fucking good. You know what I mean? Like, it was incredible. And so I ended my marriage right away. And, you know, that's been about 8 years now that we've been separated or divorced, you know. And so I've just been out here living on my own. Living my best life. But, you know, I don't have regrets there. You know what I mean? I really don't. Like, I don't regret. I knew, like, for me, that was the best choice I could make. I encourage people to stay together, though. You know what I mean? Despite problems. I wish that we could have worked it out, but there was just no, we couldn't do it. By the time he was willing to, you know, work on it, it was done. It, you know, I was done. And it had gone too long. So if you ever have issues going on in your relationships, handle it. Don't let it fester. And that's like where I go back to that thing of like being honest. I was not being honest with my sponsor. I was not being honest with my friends. I was not telling the truth. I was living a lie that like we had this great life going on. And there was like I was internally inside dying, you know, and there was like no going back after it had been, you know, so long, you know, years had gone by, and I was like, I was, you know, I did what I did. So yeah, try to work it out, you know. So today, like, I don't, you know, like, I'm all about, I just have fun. I got a motorcycle, so I had never driven a motorcycle before in my life, right? I'm 50 years old, so when I was 49, I guess, I think I've been riding a year and a half, almost 2 years, but I was 48. So I decide, like, I was at this Harley shop. This guy I was seeing, I dropped him off for his bike to, like, at the Harley shop. And these three guys come walking out of the dealership, guys I know from Massachusetts. I'm like, dude, what are you guys doing here, you know? And they're all like, what are you doing here? I'm like, this is my hood. Why are you guys here? So they're like, oh, we're just cruising around, right? They're like, you got a bike? And I'm like, no, dude, I've never driven a motorcycle in my life. And they're like, oh, dude, go right here. Get, you know, get your motorcycle license. Do it. You got to have one. And I'm like, all right, so you say so, you know, maybe I should have a bike. So I go and do it. I take the class. I've never been on a motorcycle. There's these little bikes that you ride on, right? And I'm like still like totally scared and it's weird, but I just own it, right? I'm like, I'm doing this. So I go, I get my license. I do pretty good in the class. Then of course, you know, like the good addicts we are, I go buy a brand new Harley, right? Why not? So I get that and I'm learning how to ride and it's really cool, but it's still pretty scary, you know, because I don't know how to turn and it's, you know, pretty weird. And finally, I think I went back and took another class because I couldn't understand the cornering part of it. And go back and take another class, and then I was like, I own this, you know, like I am in. So I go buy a bigger bike, you know, because I buy the bike that I really want. And dude, so I haven't even owned this bike a year. I have almost 15,000 miles on it. I'm right under 15,000 miles. Why? Isn't that crazy? Dude, I love it. I can't get off the freaking bike. I love it. So I came out here to that tri-region retreat, right? I rode my bike out here. I met some good friends of mine from Virginia, and we hooked up, and then we did this big ride up to Michigan and Wisconsin, and then came back and ended at East Coast Convention. It was a 20-day adventure. Oh my God, it was, I remember just like riding going like, I can fucking do anything. Like it was the most powerful thing like for me to feel like, because it's kind of like, you know, I had a snowmobile, and I don't know if this has to do with recovery, but as a girl, like I'm a single girl, right? Like I wasn't comfortable like riding the snowmobile by myself, because if you sink the sled, dude, you're screwed. You can't get that out anywhere. So I felt like I didn't want to trailer it. It's like just, I don't know, just seemed too much for me as a girl, right? And I'm just gonna say that, right? Whatever, I could probably do it. But I don't know, this motorcycle thing, man, I can go anywhere. I don't need a fucking dude or anybody with me. Like, it is the most empowering thing that I have done. It has changed me as like a person and a, like, as a female, you know what I mean? It's totally changed me. And like, I just feel like I can do anything. And my mom, you know, like she always said, like, you can do whatever. And when I told her like, hey, I think I'm gonna get my motorcycle license, she was 80 years old. She's like, hell yeah, do it now. Like you can't wait, you gotta do it now. And I'm like, okay, fuck yeah. I thought she'd be like, oh, it's dangerous. Who gives a fuck? I don't wear a helmet, I don't even care. Like, I'm like, I will die. If I die in a motorcycle accident, just know I was totally happy about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's so fucking cool. Yeah, I don't have NA shirts on, I have Harley shirts on, you know? I just love it. I've been all over the place. Went up to like the Gaspé Peninsula, which is like above Nova Scotia. I've just been riding, went to Laconia, this biker thing, by myself. I was like, ah, fuck it, I'll go. Went to Cape Cod. I mean, I'm just like, it's so powerful. Like, so I'm a traveler, right? I love NA. Everything I do is like surrounded by NA. So if I travel, I'm usually going to a convention or something like that. And I've always been like that. When I was new, I would never go to like retreats or anything in Connecticut. I would always like, I'm not gonna spend money to stay in Connecticut. I'm gonna go to Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine. I'm gonna like go different places. And so that's what I still do, dude. I've been all over the world, you know, with NA. I've been to Thailand and freaking Portugal and England. I mean, so many countries. Went to Morocco with like 11 addicts, dude. That was crazy. Morocco, like third, Cuba, went to Cuba's first convention. That was, you know, third world countries, man. It's like, you know, addicts are everywhere. Don't think for a minute this is your world. You know what I mean? It's just here. Like, it's incredible. We are a worldwide fellowship, and like, there are addicts suffering and dying and recovering and living happy, joyous, and free lives and, like, just doing, you know, everything. It's just so cool. Jimmy and I ski together. He comes up. My home group hosts Dopes on Slopes. It's a ski snowboard event in New Hampshire. And it's at Loon Mountain, right? Dopes on Slopes at Loon Mountain in New Hampshire. So if anybody skis, see Jimmy. He's willing to take you up there. It's our 30th year this year, which is pretty freaking cool. It's going to be badass. So that's a good time in January. And East Coast Convention, like, that changed my recovery too, like being a part of that. That made my network of addicts like so big. Julie, I've known her the longest out of anybody in this room because of that convention. You know, like, I was on the board, I was her liaison for activities, was it, or something, and we just bonded. She's badass. If you don't know her, get to know her. She, like, dude, they fed me all weekend. Yes. She is. And everybody knows it, man. And she has to start. Look at her. That's right. Look at her. Poor thing. But, you know, we have a good life here. Don't sell yourself short. You know what I mean? Like, it's get involved, meet people, talk, you know, go different places, get outside your comfort zone. Don't be afraid. You know what I mean? If somebody doesn't accept you right away, move on to the next person. Don't get all caught up in like personalities and all that stuff. We're all fucking trying to do the best we can. You know what I mean? We all have this stuff in our heads, like just all bullshit, right? So sometimes we're not okay. You might catch us on a bad day. You know what I mean? It just is what it is. Give everybody a chance. Give everybody some grace. You know what I mean? We're like, life happens, man, and we're not always at our best, you know, and I don't know. So I guess I'm done. Is that long enough? That's good, right?